KJAN, Radio Atlanta.
And at 9 o'clock, it's cloudy, breezy, and 63 degrees. We look for partly cloudy skies today, a high of 76. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank, located at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa News, the Clarinda Police Department reports a pyrotechnic device damaged a home on East Lincoln Street in Clarinda early Tuesday morning. A resident told authorities a person or person unknown detonated a 25-shot Saturn missile pyrotechnic device behind their residence sometime between 12:45 a.m. and 1 a.m. Several of the projectiles from the device struck the exterior of the home. The incident remains under investigation. And on Monday, a Clarinda resident reported that an unknown individual damaged a door and latch to a commercial washing machine at the 12th Street Laundromat, a business owned by the resident. Damage to the washing machine was estimated at $150. The incident, which is believed to have occurred sometime during the day on Sunday, remains under investigation. I'll have more news in just a moment.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Clarinda Police Department reports this morning a traffic stop late Wednesday night resulted in the arrest of a Brattyville man. 21-year-old Thomas Jeffrey Engstrand was pulled over at around 11:34 p.m. at 15th and Washington Streets. During their investigation, officers discovered what is believed to be drug paraphernalia and marijuana. The incident remains under investigation and charges are pending against Engstrand. Earlier that same night, 29-year-old Edward Dwayne Mays of Clarinda was arrested on a warrant issued by the Page County District Court for revocation of probation. Mays was arrested without incident at his residence and transported to the Page County Jail, where he was being held on $1,000 bond pending an appearance before the Page County District Court. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers also says that a Clarinda resident reported Wednesday that her residence on East Main Street had been burglarized. A Bissell vacuum cleaner and a Vizio 42-inch flat-screen TV were taken from the home. The loss was estimated at $400. The theft is believed to have taken place sometime between June and August 15th while the residence was unoccupied. The incident remains under investigation. Iowa State Executive Director for USDA Farm Service Agency John Whitaker said Wednesday that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has designated 11 Iowa counties as part of a secretarial natural disaster designation. Farm operators who have suffered major production and or physical losses caused by drought beginning on July the 31st of this year and continuing may be eligible for low-interest emergency loans. A secretarial natural disaster designation has been issued for four Iowa counties as the primary disaster area. They include Lyon, Plymouth, Sioux, and Woodbury. Seven Iowa counties are contiguous to the designated disaster area, making those producers also potentially eligible for the program based on the designation. The contiguous counties are Cherokee, Crawford, Ida, Monona, O'Brien, and Osceola. Harrison County is contiguous to a primary county in Nebraska. The FSA may make emergency loans to eligible family farmers, which will enable them to return to their normal operations if they sustain qualifying losses resulting from natural disaster. Physical loss loans may be made to eligible farmers to enable them to repair or replace damaged or destroyed physical property. Examples of property commonly affected include essential farm buildings, fixtures to real estate, equipment, livestock, perennial crops, fruit and nut-bearing trees, and harvested or stored crops. The applicant must be unable to obtain credit from other usual sources to qualify for the FSA Farm Loan Program assistance. The interest rate for those emergency loans is 2.25%. Each applicant applying for credit will be given equal consideration. For more information, contact your local Farm Service Agency office. The Cass County Board of Supervisors on Wednesday approved a $10 hourly rate of pay for township trustees serving in an official capacity as so-called fence viewers. Victoria Township officials had asked the board to consider establishing a fee for the service, which covers those rare occasions when fence maintenance and or construction issues are in question. Prior to their decision, the hourly rate for fence viewing was $7.50, and attendance for scheduled meetings of trustees was a flat rate of $35. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman said that ISU staff attorney Aaron Herbold noted with regard to the written fence agreements, for an agreement that details the allocation of fence maintenance and or construction, there are two options that exist.
One, adjacent owners can enter into a written agreement, or two, adjacent owners can request an order from the fence viewers, township trustees, allocating the responsibility between the parties.
Iowa Code, according to Sunderman, says the county shall pay except when the trustee is acting as a fence viewer in a case where a provision is made for payment from a source other than the general fund of the county. The code does not address the issue of fees except to say that township trustees, while engaged in official business, shall be compensated at an hourly rate by the Board of Supervisors. The board may elect to establish a minimum daily pay rate for time spent by a trustee attending a scheduled meeting of the township. In other business, Cass County Engineer Charles Marker updated the board on current road maintenance activities. Marker said there were two bids received Tuesday for some maintenance projects.
One of them was the German Lutheran Church Road. We had talked, you know, earlier in the year about going down and having it ground up, recompacted, and reshaped. On that project, we received two bids. One bid was by Stay-Built Construction out of Harlan. They bid $29,140 to do that. The second bid was by Blacktop Services, and they bid $98,425. So needless to say, we will be doing our work with Stay-Built.
The other maintenance project is for a seal coat on 745th Street, which goes north out of Anita 2 miles and then east to Highway 48. Marker says that project was bid on square yardage.
The same two companies bid that project also. Stay-Built in this particular case bid $1.88 a square yard. We are paying by the square yard at the completion of the project, but we did estimate that there would be about 30,333 square yards. So if you multiply that out, somewhere around $57,000 for that project. The second bidder was again Blacktop Services, and they bid $1.95 on it. So again, both of these we will be going with Stay-Built Construction to do those.
That project has a completion date of October the 1st. Marker said also that work is underway on Bridge Number 166, which is located about 2 miles east of Cumberland. Elsewhere in the news, the Iowa Attorney General's Office has filed a lawsuit against a Florida-based professional fundraiser. Courtesy Health Watch Incorporated, or CHW, headquartered in Fort Lauderdale, is a for-profit company that raises money for various nonprofit clients, including many cancer-related charities. The Iowa Attorney General's Office spokesman Jeff Greenwood said CHW misled Iowans they called for donations by insinuating that the caller was directly associated with the charity.
We're alleging that this company, its solicitors, are not shooting straight with Iowans when they call for donations. They're misleading Iowans on whether they work for the charity as a volunteer or whether they're a professional fundraiser.
He also notes that the company's employees exaggerated how much of the donation would go to the charity.
Iowans may have thought that their whole entire donation was going to the charity when, in fact, it may have only been 10 to 30%.
CHW is also accused of telling would-be donors that making a donation would halt further solicitation calls when donations actually triggered an increase in additional solicitations. The lawsuit asks the court to prohibit CHW from making any more deceptive calls to Iowans and require the company to pay civil penalties and attorney's fees. And home sales and prices increased in Iowa again last month. Dale Gross of Atlantic is president of the Iowa Realtors Association, or Iowa Association of Realtors, I should say.
We've had a tremendous 13 months in a row here where everything continues to go a little bit up or a lot up.
Home sales have increased in Iowa for 13 consecutive months. A new report from the IAR shows 3,367 homes were sold last month compared to 3,274 homes sold in July of 2011. The median sale price of a home in Iowa last month was $134,900, and that was up from $130,000 in July of last year. Gross says the inventory of homes available for purchase has dropped about 13% over the past year.
We're down from nearly 25,000 houses to 21,600 houses available for buyers to look at. That, along with the low interest rates, which we're seeing the 30-year just under 4%, and the 15-year is just under 3%, means that there's still people out there that are buying, they're involved in the home buying process.
Gross says he's concerned about the impact the drought will have on home sales here in rural Iowa communities.
And yet the statistics don't show that anybody's backing away here in the summer months. I guess maybe the farmers have the right amount of crop insurance or something like that, and everybody's talking like, well, we'll get by.
The new IAR report shows pending home sales were up 4.2% in July compared to the previous year. The average number of days on the market in July was 96 days, down from 106 days in July of 2011. Checking world headlines at this hour here on KJAN, Ecuador says it's giving asylum to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who remains holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. But the decision won't have any immediate effect on the standoff at the embassy, since British authorities are still vowing to arrest him if he leaves the embassy and extradite him to Sweden, where he faces sexual assault allegations. 7 American troops are among 11 people killed in the crash of a Black Hawk helicopter in southern Afghanistan. The 4 others were Afghans. A Taliban spokesman said the insurgents shot down the aircraft. NATO says it's investigating. Stocks are mixed at the start of trading today on Wall Street. The government reported this morning that the number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits was up slightly, but still at a level consistent with modest gains in hiring. There's also word today that U.S. builders slowed their pace of housing construction slightly last month, but applications for building permits rose to their highest level in 4 years, a hopeful sign for future consideration. Finally in the news, people in a small Michigan city are wondering who the new multi-millionaire is. The Michigan Lottery says the one winning ticket in a $337 million Powerball drawing was purchased at a gas station in Lapeer, Michigan, which is about 45 miles north of Detroit. The winner could take home a $241 million lump sum payment on a bad payday. I'll have a look at the funeral announcements coming up next.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
In the funeral announcements, 85-year-old John Saunders of Cedar Rapids and formerly of Cumberland died August the 9th in Cedar Rapids. Funeral services for John Saunders will be this morning at 10 o'clock at St. Timothy's Catholic Church south of Cumberland. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. 61-year-old Del Warner of Adair died Saturday. Memorial services for Del Warner will be today at 10 o'clock at the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair has arrangements. Gene Burnham, age 88, of Griswold, died Monday in Omaha. Funeral services for Gene Burnham will be held today at 10:30 at the Griswold United Methodist Church. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Irene Jorgensen, age 86, of Audubon, died Sunday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Irene Jorgensen will be held today at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Martha Marie Larson, age 84, of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for Martha Larson will be held this afternoon at 3 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Marie Elise Michoud Laufer, age 91, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. A private graveside service for Marie Michoud Laufer will be held Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Atlantic Catholic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Hazel Henningsen, age 92, of Walnut, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Hazel Henningsen will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Peace United Church of Christ in Walnut. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Margaret K. Norman, age 91, of Harlan and formerly of Portsmouth, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Margaret Norman will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Rilla Shires, age 83, formerly of the Griswold and Elliott areas, died August 8th in Arizona. Graveside services for Rilla Shires will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the Hillside Cemetery in Elliott. The Dune Funeral Home of Griswold has arrangements. And Geraldine Peterson, age 84, of Oakland, died Wednesday at the Oakland Manor. Services for Geraldine Peterson are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank located at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. The Sky Scan forecast is next.